feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Sometimes life isn't as smooth as we'd like. Just when things seem to be going fine, a problem pops up, and we wonder what is going on. Today we will see this illustrated in a story about David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men are returning home after being with the Philistines and looking forward to some rest and relaxation with their families. But that didn't exactly happen. Let's now join Pastor John and find out what happened and how it applies to us.
In our story here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, things are coming down. Things are falling apart. Things are looking rather grimly. David, the hero of our story, David, well, you know that he is going to be king of Israel, but that hasn't happened yet. Saul is still on the throne. And Saul is envious of David, intimidated by David, wants to do David in and take David out. So David is a fugitive, if you would, running from Saul, going through various things that we've talked about, that we've looked at. While David has been on the run, a group of men have joined themselves to David. Men, the Bible says, were distressed and discontent and in debt, 600 in number. They came from everywhere and they joined up with David. So David and his boys have now been traveling together. Saul has been out to kill David, quite frankly, but has been unsuccessful. Now, in our story, David is heading back towards the town, the city, where he based his operations from at this time. He and his men are making their way back to Ziklag, the town where their wives and kids were kept in, the town that was the base for his operations. And when he gets there, well, his heart breaks, as we shall see. It came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 30, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away, and they went on their way. Ziklag, the place means literally winding road. Life is like that. Do you know? You think you have things all straightened out, all set to go, all your ducks are in the proverbial row. You think the road is paved, smooth sailing ahead, but you find all of a sudden there's a curve you weren't counting on, or there's a pothole in the middle of the street. That's the way it's going to be on this side of heaven. But one day, when we're called away, the streets are going to be straight and paved with gold. No more winding roads and no more potholes, believe you me. But in life, Ziklag, winding road, suddenly David finds a curve that he wasn't counting on, a twist. He and his boys make their way back to that city to be with their wives, their kids, and they discovered the Amalekites had invaded the town. The Amalekites had burned down their homes. The Amalekites had carried off their women and their children. And David and his men, their hearts were broken, obviously. How could this happen? Man, everything has been lost. All has been taken away. Our families are gone. Our homes are burned down. It was a brutal, devastating, heartbreaking situation. The Amalekites. Amalek. The Amalekites. Their name means literally dwellers in the valley. Valley dwellers. I can relate to that, quite frankly. We have people in this valley that, well, they're on the attack. And the Amalekites, they were attacking David and his men. Burned down their headquarters. Wanted them driven away. Wanted them out of the area, you see. Dwellers of the valley. That's what the Amalekite name really means, literally. But the Amalekites are always in the Bible. Every time they're seen, each time they're mentioned, they're a type of, an illustration of, a picture of the flesh. The fleshly tendencies. In fact, the first part of the Bible ever written physically talks about the Amalekites. It's Exodus chapter 17. Before Genesis was written, before the law was given, the first part of the Bible that was recorded is Exodus 17. Moses was on a mountain. Down below, the people of Israel were fighting against the Amalekites. And as Moses prayed on the mountain, God gave the people of Israel victory that day. And then God said, Moses, write down what happened. Grab your Bic and grab some paper and write it down. The first part of the Bible ever written. Write down what happened, how the Amalekites were fighting the Israelites, and you were on the mountain in prayer. And as you prayed, there was victory down there. Now, then God went on to say, for you shall war against Amalek, or the Amalekites, from generation to generation to generation. That is the flesh, the Amalekites, the dwellers of the valley, the enemies. Whether it's internal within us, the flesh, the tendencies that you and I have that are ugly and fleshy. Whether it's the internal Amalekites or whether it's external enemies that want to pull us down, drive us out, do us in. They're going to fight against us. There's going to be a war within us from generation to generation to generation. You can count on it. Right when you think you have things all fixed and totally solved, another generation of Amalekites raises up and goes to war. That's the way it is. I thought we had this fixed, our situation. I thought we had it fixed a long time ago, frankly, generations ago, if you would. You see, the first time we were attacked in this way by the dwellers in this valley, when they went on the war path for reasons that they felt were justifiable, to see this fellowship moved out of the Applegate Valley, closed down, and all the rest. Well, that generation, the first generation, was beaten back, literally. How? They got saved. It was a wonderful thing. The ones that were against us, the Lord brought, and they're now a part of us, part of God's family. When that happened, I thought, oh, great and grand. Problem solved. But a new generation arose. That's always the way it is. The Amalekites, generation after generation after generation, they keep on coming and coming and coming. You see, that's the way it's always going to be, God says in Exodus 17. And here, you see, the Amalekites were on the war path. They heard that David and his men and their children, wives, their families, were living in Ziklag, the place of the winding road. And they went on the attack. And it says they burned it with fire. Perhaps you're going through a fiery trial personally. Or maybe you feel a bit burned out spiritually. This is a story for you. Because here, their homes are burned down. And their families are carted off. Their wives and kids are taken away as hostages, as captives that day. So, verse 3. David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him, those 600 men, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal. And David, verse 6, was greatly distressed or deeply depressed. Man, the city's burned up. The families have been taken away. David understood why his men were grieving and hurting, because he was going through it with them. The captain, David, the captain of that ragtag group of renegades, those 600 men, he was feeling what they were feeling. His house was burned too. His wives were taken off as well. Just like for us, the captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 calls Jesus the captain of our salvation. And he relates to whatever temptations and trials and difficulties you're going through that I'm dealing with, because the Bible in Hebrews says this captain of our salvation was tested in all points like as we are. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows what you're going through. He knows why we feel the way that we do, because he too has been tested. He too has felt the heat of the attack of the enemy. David was greatly distressed. The captain, he was going through what his men were dealing with too. But wait, it's more complicated for David. Why? Because it says in verse 6, David was distressed greatly because the people spoke of stoning him. The soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Hey, not only did David lose his wives, his house was burned down, but his men turned against him. And they had stones in their hands. They were going to stone him. We're not talking pot or grass. We're talking stone with rocks that would crack your skull open. Why were they so mad at David? Well, no doubt, they felt that David dropped the ball, that David let him down. David, why didn't you leave some men behind to guard the city? Why did you take us all on these excursions, on these adventures? David, you should have left somebody, some of us behind, to guard and to protect the women, the children, to guard the city. And they blamed David, you see, for the problems, for the difficulty. And they had rocks in their hands and they were going to hurl them at him. And David was already grieving over his own loss. And now to see 600 men turning against him, he had reason to be distressed. He had reason to be depressed. But David does something. The story ends in a grand way. Something happens in the story. Something unfolds. It's real practical for us as a church, for you and me personally. It says, well, look ahead, please. It says in verse 18 of chapter 30. And David, watch this, note it. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. There was nothing, verse 19, nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that the Amalekites had taken. Look at these last three words. David recovered all. Look again. David recovered all. Not some, not a lot, not a good percentage of. David recovered all. I'm telling you, folks, this is the Lord's will for you. This is his heart for me. What the Amalekites have burned down, what the enemy has carried off, the things that have been ripped away by sin, by the enemy, by the flesh, by the devil. Hey, God wants us to recover all. I like this. It was all recovered. Not some, not most. Maybe your family has been carted off. Maybe you were fired and your house has fallen apart like their homes were burned up. Maybe you feel like you've been destroyed, ripped off, and you're deeply distressed. This is the story for you, because there's four things I want you to see quickly. that allowed David to recover all. Everything that was ripped off, everything that was taken away, everything that was carted off would be returned to him. And more, as we shall see. What did David do? Four things. First, it says, when David was greatly distressed because the people now turned against him too, it says, the last phrase, mark this in verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number one, to take note of, David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is where it starts. This is what I've got to do. This is what we must do if we're going to go down the road to recovery. To get back all that was lost, ripped off, taken away by the enemy. I've got to encourage myself in the Lord. David couldn't depend on his guys or look to his guys. His guys were mad at him. His guys were down on him. There was nobody there to say, oh, David, it'll be okay, pat, pat. Nobody to tickle him under his chin or to wipe away his tears from his cheeks. There was nobody around him. And that's the way it often, perhaps usually, is. Don't wait for some pastor to come or some friend to show up or some neighbor to drop by when you're depressed or distressed. If you do, you might have a long wait. And you might be blue for a long time. David knew what he had to do. Everything looked grimly. Everything looked dark. Everything looked blue. But David knew, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. How? Well, listen to what he says in Psalm 42. I'll read it to you. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He talks to himself. Soul, why are you so depressed? Soul, why are you cast down? He goes on to say, why are you disquieted in me? You're troubled. You're anxious. David talked to his own soul and said, why is this? And then he tells his soul, hope in God. Have hope. Hope is the expectation of what? Coming good. Don't be distressed. Don't be blue. Hope in God. And then he said, here's what I will do. I will praise him and give thanks for his countenance. I will praise him and I will give thanks for who he is and the way he has smiled on me. I'm not going to be blue, depressed, discouraged. No. I'm going to hope in God that good is coming my way and I will praise him in the meantime. As we read earlier in the day, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. It's such a key. The old songwriter was right when he wrote, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. See, this is the key. I can get bummed or blue, depressed, discouraged, despairing continually. Or I can say, why are you this way, soul? Hope in God and give praise to him and offer thanks before him. Remember what he has done. I did that as I was reading Psalm 42. I began to thank the Lord. Lord, you have seen us through time and time again. In the past 25 years, you've never let us down. You've never turned your back on us. You've never given us reason to despair because you've always been there. Lord, I began then just to go through the blessings of our fellowship, answers to prayers and the way he's come through and the way he's blessed me and blessed you. And I found myself not despairing. I found myself, it's true, I can talk to my soul. Soul, bless the Lord. Soul, hope in God. I will praise him. I encouraged myself in the Lord. It's such a key. Isaiah chapter 61 tells us, tells me, tells you, when you feel like your city's burned out, he gives beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is such a key. When I get news like this, when I hear things like I do, like you do as well in your situations too, I have found the first thing I must do if I'm going to recover, I must encourage myself in the Lord. How? By thanking him for the way he's been so faithful, in this case, to us for the past 25 years. The way he's been there time and again, seen us through over and over, I begin to reflect on, remember, and I begin to talk to the Lord verbally, audibly, giving him thanks for what he has done, how good he has been. I count my blessings. Little Tommy, well, you see, he didn't understand. His mommy said, "Tommy, you're going to have a baby brother or a baby sister." Oh boy, he was thrilled. Tommy was a kindergartner. And each day he went to his class and told his teacher, every day without fail, "I'm going to have a baby brother or a baby sister." This went on for weeks, for months. One day his mommy said, "Tommy, come here," and took his hand and placed his hand on her stomach. "Feel that?" Tommy said, "Yeah." "That's your baby brother or baby sister in there. He or she is kicking. Feel that?" And Tommy felt it and looked at his mother and smiled rather faintly. Walked away into the room. Next day he went to school. Didn't mention to his teacher that he's going to have a baby sister or a baby brother. Nor did he bring it up the second day, nor the third, nor the fourth, nor the fifth. Finally, after a couple of weeks, the teacher said, "Tommy, you haven't talked about the baby that's coming." And Tommy burst into tears. "The baby's not coming. My mommy ate it." He didn't understand. He didn't get it. Little Tommy was distressed and blue, just like me, just like you. We don't get it. We think, "Oh, this is awful. I can't believe it." But in reality, God is up to something. You watch, you'll see. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. The second thing he did, and I will speed it up, but the second thing he did after he encouraged himself in the Lord, number two, he inquired of the Lord. Verse 7, it says, David said to the priest, Abiathar, "Bring me the ephod." The ephod was a vesture worn that would help determine God's will. The high priest had that ephod in his possession. "Bring the ephod to me." Verse 8, then David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop, after the Amalekites? Shall I overtake them?" And the Lord answered, "Pursue."
This is obviously a very important step in recovering all that is lost. We must inquire of the Lord. We must find His will in the situation. Pastor John will talk more about this as we continue this teaching on our next program. We hope you can join us again then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website, at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.